So as we come to look at this very well-known passage, let's pray and ask for God's help. Father, we thank you so much for your word to us. We thank you that it's a word that speaks powerfully. And I pray that by the power of your Spirit, you may guide my words to speak truthfully and powerfully what you want to say. And that you, by the power of your Spirit, you would open our closed hearts to hear and respond faithfully to your word. Amen. Well, I guess like most people, I don't really like being told what to do. I wonder if that's true of you as well. Do you hate being told what to do by people? But sometimes, of course, it does really matter that we do what we're told to do. This week on our beaches, we've seen flocks of people gathering in the hot weather to enjoy the seaside, but in the process, not doing what they've been told to do, that is to keep social distancing from one another of at least 2 metres. And there's real concerns that as a result of that, the virus will spread more and as a result, people will die. Not doing what we're told to do can be a matter of life and death. I want to tell you a story about a guy called Ignaz Semmelweis. He was a Hungarian, he was a doctor, and he worked in Vienna in the 19th century when medicine was very different as it is today. And he was responsible for 2 different clinics for pregnant women. One was run by midwives and the other run by doctors and medical students. And you'd think you'd be safer going to the one run by doctors and medical students. They were the experts, they were trained, and yet he found that all the pregnant women much preferred to go to the one run by midwives. Because the pregnant women had realised that you had a much better chance of survival if you went to the midwives and not to the doctors. So Ignaz looked into this to try and work out what was going on. And he discovered it was true that you were more likely to die if you were seen by the doctors. And then he realised that the problem was that in the mornings, the doctors and medical students were dissecting or cutting up dead bodies as a way of training themselves about the human body. And then they were going straight in the afternoons without washing their hands to treat and examine and help pregnant women. And he realised they were passing on an infection from the dead bodies to the pregnant women. And as a result, many pregnant women were dying. And so he introduced a very drastic measure. He told people they had to wash their hands. The doctors and medical students, after doing their work in the morning with dead bodies, had to wash their hands and in the afternoon, therefore, be safe to treat the women. And as a result, the number of women dying dropped dramatically. And so Ignaz tried to tell other doctors that this is what they needed to do. They needed to wash their hands. But many doctors ridiculed him. They said, look, we're professionals. We don't need to wash our hands. We don't need to follow what you say. They were too proud and arrogant to hear what Ignaz was saying. And sadly, Ignaz died at a young age and rejected by his profession, not listened to. But even more tragically, many pregnant women continue to die out of infection, from infections that they really shouldn't have had to catch. If only the doctors had done what Ignaz said and washed their hands. Of course, medicine's moved on a lot since then, and now washing your hands is one of the key things that doctors and nurses are well trained on. But the point is that it matters if you do what people say, especially in certain circumstances. And in some circumstances, it is a matter of life and death. And Jesus, as he comes to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, wants to say to us, it matters that you do what I say. This is a matter of life and death. And you might say, well, why should we do what Jesus says? Well, there's 2 reasons. First of all, because of your life, and secondly, because of his life. Let's look at the first of those. Why do what Jesus says? Because of your life. Jesus tells his story, isn't he? It's a very well-known story. You've probably heard the song. You've probably read the story a number of times. You may well have heard it many, many times before. Jesus says there's a wise man. He builds his house upon the rock. And when the storms come, the house stands firm. And the foolish man builds a house on the sand. When storms come, his house collapses because the foundation disappears beneath it. And he falls with a great crash. And Jesus is saying, look, actually, if you're someone who decides to do what I say, then you are like a wise man. Your life will be secure. Your life will be safe. But if you don't do what I say, if you refuse to obey my words, then you're acting like a foolish man, and your life will collapse. Actually, the Greek word, interestingly, for foolish, the foolish man, is moros, where we get our word moron from. And Jesus says that the house that he builds falls with a great fall. And the word for great in Greek is mega. So Jesus is sort of saying, don't be a moron, or your life will end in a mega calamity. Listen to my words. Be wise, and your life will go well. So will you listen to what Jesus says? You see, this isn't just about your life now. It's not just about life eternally. It's about both. First of all, your life now. This is wisdom for a good life now. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, is teaching us how to live in this life. And they are words of wisdom. And throughout, he's trying to say to us, don't be content with a superficial, surface level of behavior and goodness. That's not enough. You need to be holy and totally good in the depths of your hearts, in your inner self. It's about your attitudes, not just your behavior. And in a way, the story tells, illustrates that, doesn't it? Because in normal times, both houses are good, strong, secure, safe, and presumably good houses. In normal times, a house on the sand stands firm, that just like the house on the rock stands firm. It's only when the storm comes and the rain washes away the foundations that the real difference shows. And the difference is with the foundation, what's below the surface. And Jesus says, be concerned with what's in your heart. You may be, on the surface, seem like a very good and kind person, but is your heart in the right place? Will it get you through the storms of life? And it may be that as we've gone through this recent storm, metaphorically as a picture of the coronavirus and the lockdown and all that's meant, that you've realised that your foundations aren't quite as secure as you thought. Maybe as being forced to be cooped up with members of your household, you've discovered that you've got a problem with your inner attitude of anger. That maybe hasn't really shown itself before, but now is. Maybe as you faced the possibility of dying of a deadly disease, the concern about catching the coronavirus and whether you'll be one of those that doesn't make it. Maybe you've been forced to realize that all those possessions and things you've stored up on earth are worthless and valueless. Maybe you begin to realize that you've been focusing on the wrong things in life. And maybe with all the problems going round, with the changes, you've realized that you struggle with anxiety. And you've got no way of dealing with that. But Jesus' words, you see, are wise words. They say to us, deal with your anger. They say to us, don't store up riches on earth, store them up in heaven. And he says to us, don't worry. Learn to trust and believe that God will provide. This is wisdom for a good life now. And it's wisdom that means even when the storms and difficulties of life come along, you will have God's strength, God's support, and God's help to stand firm through them. But Jesus tells his story not just to show us how to live life now. Throughout the sermon, Jesus has a focus on the eternal. He wants to give us wisdom for a good life eternally. So right back at the beginning of the sermon, when he says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. When will they inherit the earth? Well, at the great judgment, when God returns. And the Bible says that when we die, we will all be judged one day. And Jesus is saying, when that storm comes, will you stand firm? Will you be one of those who inherit the earth? Will you be one of those who stored up your riches in heaven, where you've been a focus on doing God's work and seeking his kingdom rather than just getting stuff for yourself for this life? Will you be someone who's chosen the right way? Last week we looked at another story Jesus tells, another picture he gives of two different ways, the wide way where most people go, where it's easy to go and travel ignoring Jesus, or the narrow way, the harder way, following what Jesus says, where less people go. But Jesus said the wide way leads to destruction, a mega catastrophe. But the narrow way, following Jesus, that leads to life, eternal life. You see, what Jesus is saying here is of such great importance for us because it is a matter of life and death. This is a matter of your life. Will you do what Jesus says? But you might say, well, why should I do what Jesus says? What's so special about Jesus? This is a guy who lived in Galilee in Israel 2,000 years ago. He had no special education. He wasn't anything wonderful about him. He hadn't traveled much. He hadn't read many books, probably. Why should we follow him? Well, we need to look at his life to see that he is someone remarkable, someone who's worth following. And firstly, when we look at his life, we discover that his claims are outrageous. They're outrageous, that is, if he is just an ordinary person. Even in this passage that we had read to us, it's not obvious, but when you look at it in more depth, you see that what Jesus is doing is incredible if he's just an ordinary person. The crowds pick up on it in the last couple of verses. They're amazed at his teaching. Why are they amazed? Because he teaches with authority, an authority that no other teachers of the time had. There was something amazing about what he was saying, that he sort of seemed to say, look, I can tell you this. I have a greater authority than anyone else. And actually, when you look at his words in this passage, in the story he tells, what does he say? He says, whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Now, you'd expect a Jewish teacher, or probably most religious teachers, to say at that point, whoever puts God's words into practice. But Jesus doesn't say that. He says, my words. He's putting himself on a par with God's. He's giving himself the authority of God's. And it's not just there. Even in the bit before, in verses 21 to 23, Jesus says, look, when it comes to the great judgments, those that seem to be my followers but aren't really at heart, I will say to them, I never knew you. What gets you into eternal life is knowing Christ and being known by Christ. He's the one that gets to decide. That's an amazing claim, isn't it? This can't be just an ordinary person. And Jesus teaches us to pray, doesn't he? Pray our Father in heaven, and yet Jesus often talks about my Father in heaven. He talks as though he has a special, particular relationship with God, as God's son. You see, the way Jesus speaks shows that either he's an incredible megalomaniac, or he truly is someone who is different to anyone else that has ever lived, because he is God with us. Is Jesus a maniac? Is Jesus mad? Is he a fraud? Or is he who he claims to be? You need to decide. And if he is who he claims to be, then surely he is someone you should do what he says. But of course, it's not just what Jesus says that points to who he is. It's what happens in his life. Because as Matthew goes on in his gospel, he shows us not just what Jesus says, but he shows us what Jesus does. In the next two chapters, in chapters 8 and 9 in Matthew, he shows us lots of miracles that Jesus does. He tells us that Jesus healed a man of leprosy. He healed a servant of a centurion, even though he never came near him, just by a word, just by an order. He calmed a storm when he and his disciples were out in a boat in it. He cast out demons from demon-possessed people. He helps people that have never walked to walk. He raises even a girl from the dead. And he helps blind people to see and mute people to speak. Jesus does miracle after miracle after miracle, almost as each one is more amazing than the one before. Who else has there been like him? And not only is it his miracles, but it's also his death. You see, Jesus went willingly to die on the cross. Again, you might say that's a sign that he's mad, but Jesus said that he died for a purpose. He died as a ransom for many, for those who would trust in him. He died that people might be forgiven for their sins. Jesus says, look, if you don't follow my commands, then you're heading for a calamity. And in a sense, we all know that we haven't followed Jesus' commands. But Jesus took that calamity upon himself. He died that we don't have to die. He allowed himself to be destroyed because we've chosen the wrong way. But in order for us to receive that forgiveness, we have to choose now to commit the rest of our lives to seeking to do what Jesus says and to follow him. Jesus' death on the cross shows that we have a way out of our sin, a way out of our wrongdoing, but it also shows us what kind of person Jesus is. That he loves us, that he cares for us, that he's willing to sacrifice for us. And not only did Jesus die, but he rose again from the dead. Jesus defeated that greatest enemy of mankind, death itself. You might want to follow other followers like Muhammad or Buddha, or you might want to follow some great philosopher of the past, but let me tell you, they are all dead and buried. Jesus is alive. Came to life again. He showed himself to his followers. His body was missing from the tomb before he eventually went up and to sit at God's right hand in heaven. And at the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus says to his disciples, having risen from the dead, he says, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Is that not a reason to do what Jesus says? So will you make the wise choice? Will you make the wise choice for the sake of your life? So that your life, no matter what storms come, no matter what difficulties you face, and even when it comes to death and judgment, your life will stand secure. You will flourish forevermore. Or will you choose to ignore Jesus? Will you be a moron and head for that mega calamity? Are you thinking about your life? And you need to hear what Jesus says because of his life. Because of the claims he made about himself and because of the miracles and his self-giving on the cross and his resurrection. He has all authority on heaven and earth. And he loves you more than you can ever imagine. Surely this is someone you should listen to. This is someone you should commit your life to doing what he asks you to do. And so I don't know when you are watching this video. I don't know when you're listening to this sermon. It could be any time. Maybe it's on the Sunday it's produced. Maybe it's many days later. But it's now the time to decide to follow Jesus, to commit your life to living and doing what he says. Yes, you may have failed to do that in the past. Maybe you failed in big ways, maybe you failed in small ways that aren't obvious to anyone else, but you know in your own heart that they're there. Jesus died that you can be forgiven. But you need to choose You need to choose to follow him. You need to choose to seek to live his way from now on. Will you do that and find the wonderful joy and support and help that God will give you to live his way? I want to invite you now to share with me in saying this prayer. There's nothing special or magical about these words. These are just a way of expressing that desire to commit to God, to trust him for forgiveness through Jesus, and to seek to live doing what Jesus says for the rest of your life, that you might have that confident hope of eternal life. As I say the words, why not say them along with me? If you want to have more chance to think about them, then just pause the video. Read through the words. But don't delay a decision. This is a matter of your life. And you can be confident about taking this step because of his life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus and showing me the wise way to live. Forgive me when I failed to live your way. And help me to spend the rest of my life seeking to do what Jesus says, that I may know the good, flourishing life you long to give for us, both now and forever. Amen. If today is the day you've made that choice for the first time, then can I really encourage you to tell someone? Can I encourage you maybe to get in touch with me by email or phone or WhatsApp or whatever way you want? You can contact me through the contact on the website. Let someone know and find someone that can help you, whether it's us or some other church, to help you get to know Jesus better, get to know what it means to follow him and do his will, to grow and build that foundation for your life, both now and forevermore. Thank you so much for listening.